Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Musical Connections podcast. On this show, you will discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. So join me now as we explore what makes our Newfoundland and Labrador music scene so special. And won't you be a part of my mission in growing our Newfoundland and Labrador music sector one song at a time? And we've got another jam-packed one lined up for you. We head back to the Sheraton Hotel for Music Celebration Week 2024. I speak this week with Gander-based singer-songwriter Harry Parsons, who goes by his stage name Control Plus V, and that is the shortcut for paste on one's computer. I talked to Harry about how the project first came together, plus the amount of people that he's worked with throughout his career, and how he got into music in the first place. And we get to know a bit more about Harry Parsons himself. All that and more on Next to Connect, right after we get through this week's newfound releases. And these songs came out between September 29th to October 5th. And we kick off this week's batch of releases with an album drop from Gerard O'Reilly. He put out First Person Fiction this past Friday, very reminiscent of post-grunge rock back in the 90s and the 2000s, and you can definitely hear it on this record. Right now, from First Person Fiction, here is Gerard O'Reilly with Cheater on Newfound Releases.
To you when I'm through, when I get done with this, and it don't matter anymore. I don't care if you're pissed. You try to shoot me with your finger, come on, shoot me in the head. Anyway, I was thinking I'd be better.
And that was Gerard O'Reilly with Cheater on Newfound Releases. And we are about to pick up a hitchhiker right now. And that hitchhiker is Jason Benoit. Well, it's not actually him. He has a song called Hitchhiker. It is his latest release. And here is that for you now on Newfound Releases.
Driving through Aberdeen, came across a hitchhiker in a pink bandana. She was making her way to California, off to get rich and famous with the looks God gave her. Well, I pull over and push the door open, hope you don't mind riding with a guy like me. She said, you're looking just fine to me, honey. Then she jumped on up in the passenger seat. Well, look at me, she's a hitchhiker, and I like her. Feet up on the dash, she's a shotgun rider. Party in the cab, we can go all nighter. I'm about to crash, you're just so damn fine, girl. never met no one like her. She's that rebel ex-city outsider. She just setting this heart on fire. You need a lift. Yes, she's a hitchhiker. Smoke, she rolls down the window, then she lights up a camel with a devil's smile. Well, only in my dreams I could be with a chick like this, make her mine, all mine, a fortune nine. Well, she's a hitchhiker, man, I like her. Feet up on the dash, she's a shotgun rider. Party in the cab, we can go all nighter. I'm about to crash, you're just so damn fine, girl. Well, I never met no one like her. That rebel ex-city outsider. She just setting this heart on fire. You need a lift. Yes, she's a hitchhiker. Yes, she's a hitchhiker.
Fox Island River's own Jason Benoit with his brand new song, that is Hitchhiker, on Newfound Releases. We are now going to introduce you to 20-year-old Luke Wadman. He is an alt-rocker from St. John's, Newfoundland, and this new song is very reminiscent of those 2000s new metal, alt-rock, post-grunge kind of sound that really dominated the airwaves following from the mid-90s upwards to the late 2000s. Right now, here's the debut single from Luke Wadman. This is Russian Plane on Newfound Releases. And that was Luke Wadman with Russian Plane on Newfound Releases. And we go now to heavy metal band Lund. They are a hard rock group based out of St. John's, consisting of Devin Milley and Ted Sampson. They released their EP of the same name, which lead single came out back in June. But we're going to play you that song that came out back in June right now. From the album of the same name, here are Lund with Ancient Steel on Newfound Releases.
Rock, rock, rock.
And that was Lund with Ancient Steel. And our last newfound release comes from Paige Penny. We haven't heard a new song from Paige Penny in a long time. Originally based here in St. John, she is now in Nashville, making a name for herself in the country world. And she joins Toronto-born but Nashville-based producer With Friends. So they spell it W-R-F-R-N-D-S. It is the collection of Matt McCartney, Casey Levasseur, and Curtis John. You can definitely hear that new country sound here on this track. Right now, here is Paige Penny with a little help from With Friends with Southern Drawl on Newfound Releases.
My mama told me, say no to cigarettes, but I crave one every now and then. She always warned me not to jump right in, to be careful of those dancing men. But when I hear your accent asking, I always give in. Blame your southern drawl preaching to my heart. The way you say my name, smooth like whiskey when you talk, makes me feel at home. I know it's a show. Southern drawl preaching to my heart. The way you say my name, smooth like whiskey when you talk, makes me feel at home. I know it's a show. Keep falling for that charm. Now I'm lying in your arms, man. Damn your southern drawl.
Damn your southern drawl.
Damn your southern drawl.
Damn your southern drawl.
Damn your southern drawl. Holds me like a holster, keeps pulling me closer, but I can't get over, over your call. You're not trying to tie knots, but you lassoed my heart, and I tried giving you up, but I can't stop. Blame your southern drawl preaching to my heart. The way you say my name, smooth like whiskey when you talk, makes me feel at home. I know it's a show.
And that wraps up this week's batch of Newfound Releases. Head on over to my linktree.com/ZachSnowNL, and there you'll find the Newfound Releases guide. It'll tell you everything they need to know on how and who qualifies for Newfound Releases, as well as what you need to include in your submission package. Any other questions, comments, or concerns you may have about Newfound Releases, feel free to email musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. It is now time for our next half of Musical Connections. That is Next to Connect, where we connect with musicians or industry professionals to talk about their careers and brand new projects. And we head back to the Sheraton Hotel as we cover Music Celebration Week 2024. I speak with Gander-born singer-songwriter Harry Parsons. He goes by his stage name, Paste, or as you would find on your computer, Control plus V. We talked to him all about Control plus V, and their album Prequels, which came out back in April, and how the whole project came together to begin with. We also dive deep into Harry's career, get to know a bit more about the singer-songwriter, and a whole lot more. So let's head back to the Sheraton Hotel as we connect with singer-songwriter Harry Parsons, who goes by Control plus V. Welcome back to the Musical Connections podcast from Music Celebration Week 2024 in St. John's. Zach Snow here with you once again, and joining me now on Next to Connect, he is a Gander-based singer-songwriter with very synth-rock-heavy influences from his album Prequels.
He is making a lot of noise out in Central. And Harry Parsons is his name. You may know him as Control plus V, otherwise known as the shortcut on your computer. He goes by Paste. Harry, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I am lovely.
Thank you for having me on this wonderful little chat here.
And thank you so much again for coming on. I've been featuring a lot of your songs for quite a while now.
You have, yes.
Especially from your new album, Prequels, which mm-hmm. you released, I believe, this past year?
April, yeah, back in April.
So how does it feel now to have that out now for a couple of months and just letting this play out?
Feels good. Yeah, really good. It was several years in the making, really. Basically, I started this project in 2018.
Jesus.
Yeah. Crazy. I guess pandemic was in between there.
Oh, yeah.
Time got a little bit construed. But, actually, a bulk of the writing, the EP, kind of just ended up happening during pandemic. But even though the EP has six songs, but I wrote a bunch of other songs as well that ended up not making the cut.
Yeah. Like you would.
Yeah, I didn't even really make it to the demo or recording process, really, but kicking around a lot of ideas and finally distilled it down to the six best songs that we felt, we being myself and Elliot Butt, who is my co-writer, producer, co-conspirator, and our friend Devin Milley, who's also involved in it as well. He sings on two songs that are on the EP. It took a little while to kind of let things percolate a bit and decide what we thought were the best songs. I worked with a couple well-known mixers and producers on it as well, so we sent the tracks away to them. It was a little bit of back and forth. It all adds up to some time, so.
Yeah, so which one of these well-known producers did you work with?
I worked with two. One guy is named John Fryer. John is British, but I think he's been based in L.A. for probably, 20-odd years at this
wow.
point. Yeah, he's an L.A. guy. He's worked with one of my all-time favorite bands called Him. They're a rock band from Finland.
Okay.
He did an album called Razorblade Romance with them. Yeah, it's one of their big albums. I think it came out in 2000. I reached out to him kind of early on in the project. I was actually kind of surprised that he even wrote me back, but he did. So he did five of the songs on the EP.
Wow.
And one of the songs was done by Mark Needham, who's also an LA guy. He's worked with a ton of people. He worked with The Killers. He worked with Imagine Dragons.
Wow.
Yeah, he's pretty up there. So again, was kind of blown away that he even responded to me. So he did one song on the EP.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was, I just feel thankful to be able to collaborate with some people like that. It's good, I don't know. You work a lot of what I do, and I'm sure what a lot of other people do this day and age, we're all just kind of in front of a laptop in our basement, in our bedroom.
Pretty much.
And yeah, if you're not playing live, like I'm not yet, but it's good to throw things out to other people,
Yeah,
so sort of get someone else's spin on it and someone else who's not as biased, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word, but they haven't been entrenched in the songs like you have for the past, few years. So they give a fresh perspective on how things should sound or what should be,
Yeah, and it's great. I found out about you through, of course, Melissa Tobin, who works with CBC Radio 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I just discovered this. I listened to your songs, and really nice. I definitely hear some killers in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, some good synth rock.
Totally,
that,
yeah,
dominated,
yeah.
See, the 80s. Mm-hmm. Some 80s mixes, some, modern mixes in there.
Some NXS.
Oh, that's
some Cameo. Do you know Cameo?
Heard about them.
Word Up is their big song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In Excess, I can definitely see.
Mm-hmm, yeah, In Excess, a lot of people have told me that without me having to tell them that that's one of my influences. The Killers, Him, as I mentioned, are big. I love the Strokes, Alkaline Trio, some more like punky stuff.
So like pop punk kind of stuff?
Yeah, I guess so. Alkaline Trio, like AFI, sort of the darker stuff. Tiger Army, yeah.
AFI, I think I've heard of. Miss Sarah Canante. I think that's a song that he did for like CM Punk back in the day. Well, CM Punk used that as his entrance music in Ring of Honor.
Okay.
I'm a wrestling fan, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah. Melissa is a huge wrestling fan, believe it or not. Yeah, it's fun.
Love that, Melissa.
I know very little about it, but I'm sure she would totally get the reference.
Oh, for sure. Now, how did this all start for you, Harry?
Sorry?
So how did this whole thing of music start?
Just even before Pace, just...
Yeah, so, what got you into music in the first place?
I think I had... there's a couple kids around my neighborhood that were older than me and kind of cool, you know? They had a band. And also an older cousin that also had a band. And they used to rehearse at his house, my uncle's uncle's house. And so seeing, just hanging out at their place when I was a kid, and at the neighborhood kid's house who lived like right across the street from me, and they would rehearse at their house. So I'm a drummer. I would call that my first and foremost main instrument. So seeing the drum kit from an early age, really, I just gravitated towards it. It felt right for me. And after probably a couple years of bugging my parents to get me a drum set, they finally got me just a snare drum, single drum. And when I played that and took some lessons, showed some continued interest, they eventually threw down for a full kit for me for Christmas when I was like, I think I was 12.
Wow.
Yeah, when I got my first drum kit.
That's wonderful.
After dabbling on the neighbor's kit for here and there whenever they would let me in.
Yeah, but listen, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah. And it just kind of grew from there. By the time I was like 15, I was probably had formed like maybe even 14, had formed my first band, and we would record with a couple friends around Gander, which is where I'm from. And in through high school, I got busier and busier with it. Started to get a little more serious and recorded. We came into St. John's to record an album at this place called Record Time Productions.
Yeah, Rick Holland and company.
Yeah.
I believe that's closed down now.
It could be. They used to be up by the Avalon Mall.
Oh, really?
But they moved down to Bond Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they might have changed their name eventually. But yeah, it was Rick Hollett and Kevin Pinhorn.
Oh, wow. So what was the name of the band that you recorded that album with?
The band was called The Bayonets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that.
The album came out in 2006. We were only like I was still in high school when it came out.
Wow.
Yeah. And the guys are a year older than me. I think they were in here going to Munn. So we played a few shows around St. John's in that era. We played some shows out in Central. Definitely some good memories from the Bayonets. It was kind of my first like serious band that we recorded an album with. Good memories. We did a bunch of originals, but also a bunch of covers as well. Some good like classic rock stuff. Good education, you know?
Wonderful.
You're learning an instrument.
Oh, yeah. Class rock, I think, has definitely influenced a lot of the rock bands that you see here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your drumming influences, who influenced you to start drumming? Would you say, like, a John Bonham or Neil Peart, maybe a Ringo Starr?
Yeah, definitely. Neil is definitely way up there. The Bayonets used to jam lots of Rush
stuff.
Yeah, we could, like... I mean, my kit wasn't as big as Neil's, but we pulled it off like pretty good, and the guys are great musicians as well. So yeah, we'd do a lot of like instrumental Rush stuff, like 2112. What else?
I think there's a couple of good tracks like YYZ.
YYZ. we would jam some other stuff. We just wouldn't do it with the vocals. We would jam like Tom Sawyer and The Trees and Subdivisions, all that stuff. Yeah. So definitely Neil was a huge influence for me. The best Canadian drummer of all time.
Oh,
I'll go 100%. On record. I'll go on record saying this.
No, but 100%. Like Neil Peart is definitely like he's one of the most influential rock drummers of all time, really.
Absolutely.
And when you consider Rush, they're one of the greatest rock bands of all time. Geddy Lee is one of the best vocals out there. Alex Lifeson, amazing at guitar. And how can you not deny Neil Peart?
Yeah. Just brilliant. And he wrote a lot of their lyrics, too, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I think all three of them had a share in writing the songs.
Just what a band. Beyond Neil, who else influenced me? Some of my drummers from my favorite bands, which I mentioned earlier, like Alkaline Trio. Derek Grant.
Okay.
Huge influence on me, just in the way that I set up my kit, my style. Yeah, he's huge. He's probably my all-time favorite drummer still to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. John Ferris from INXS.
That's pretty cool.
He's huge, yeah. Did you see INXS back in the day when they played in St. John's?
No, I didn't.
I think it was 2006.
I've only been like 10 at the time.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was in first year university at the time, and I ended up getting a free some friends of my parents were like, we have this ticket and we can't go to the show. Do you want it? It's like, oh, I guess I'll check out this band, I guess. And I was completely blown away. I think it's the best show I've seen ever.
Oh, yeah.
Even to this day. And yeah, that's when I really fell in love with John Ferris. And I think that might have been the kind of spark of going a little more in the electronic direction, because up until that point I was very, I mean, they were just kind of an 80s band that I had heard of.
Yeah, because around that time New Wave was really starting, like, more electronic influences.
Yeah,
really starting to go
and
into rock.
The Killers were already like huge by that point, so they were very influenced by that.
Yeah, the genesis of alternative rock, I think, really started with INXS.
Oh yeah,
would you think
it could be? I guess so, or maybe even back a little further, like the punk scene out of England, I guess, in the late 70s. I don't know. Like, I don't know when alternative rock started. It could even be earlier than that. I guess you could argue the Beatles even had some.
Yeah, like some songs rock, like Tomorrow Never Knows.
Yeah, yeah, had, some like weirder stuff.
Glass Onion.
Should I say, yeah, yeah.
And songs that he had like, say, on Abbey Road and Let It Be.
Like Helter Skelter.
Oh, yes.
The White Album. I don't know.
Have you ever gotten to a point of drumming where you were just like, I got blisters on me fingers?
I have, yeah. I don't think I've actually said it like Ringo has, but I did most definitely develop some pretty decent blisters on my fingers. I guess I still have them. They're just not as pronounced as they were because I haven't been behind the kit, sadly, the past few years. Kind of switch gears into what I'm doing now, which is writing. I bought a bass guitar a few months ago.
Oh, wow.
Which I've owned a bass guitar for, like, years and years. But
Wonderful.
My second bass guitar a few months ago, which I plan on pursuing a little bit more.
Yeah, so this current project you got right now, it's Paste. Mm-hmm. Control+V, that's the shortcut on the computer.
Paste, yeah.
That has Paste. So how did the whole Paste thing start for you?
Paste, it's funny, I just was talking last night with about this with someone. So when I was playing in a band, maybe like 2013-14 here in St. John's, I had this lofty idea to record a double album.
Oh.
It's kind of like sometimes you throw out these ridiculous ideas, you know they probably won't happen, but you throw them out there anyways.
Listen, you gotta think big anyway,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So I had an idea to make a double album, and it would be copy and paste, like Control C would be the first one.
Control V.
Yeah, and Control V would be the second one. which, of course, that never happened. So fast forward a few years later, the idea just kind of stuck with me, and the whole idea of the name being pronounced differently than how it's written. And so 2018 rolls around. I had was kind of getting itchy to start, like, maybe a new project, something different. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take just the second part of that as my band name. Paste. It just had a ring to it. Simple, one word, kind of like dark sounding or something. The control V. I really love the way it looks when it's written. And I've been confusing people ever since.
I think I am one of them.
Well, you seem to have grasped it quite well now. But it's been in your head for like a little while now.
So. Oh, yes, pretty much.
I've accepted that it's just going to take a while for people to get it.
Oh, yeah. Now, one part.
And I'm not offended if like people pronounce it as Control V. It's fine.
Yeah, I finally got it after mm-hmm. say, like a few times of like, you know, messaging you and looking mm-hmm. at your names, like, okay, Control plus V. Mm-hmm. That's the shortcut for paste.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great name, and there's none other like it here in Newfoundland and Labrador.
Mm-hmm.
So on this,
it's hard to come up with a unique band name these days.
Pretty much. Now, on this continuing journey that you've been on, mm-hmm. you spend time at the Musicians Institute in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you end up down there?
Yeah, good question. That was even that's also going back quite a bit. It was in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, September 2008 is when I went down there, and I was there for a year. I was only 19 when I moved there. Like I'd been to, you know, Toronto and Montreal, but I'd never been outside Canada at that point. It was a lot to take in, you know.
I'd say.
LA is kind of a crazy, crazy place, but it came about just because, of course, I was a drummer. And I think I found out about the Musicians Institute through Modern Drummer magazine.
Okay.
They would always have an advertisement in there, usually like a full page or part of a page or something. And I looked into it. I don't know. I didn't think. I said, I don't know. I'll try to apply. I don't know if they would accept me, you know. I don't know. The logistics of going might just be impossible, but I applied and they did accept me.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I don't know. It just kind of seems like fate, I guess. So I went and it was incredible. It was just a lot to process, but I think I got to learn. I got to be instructed by some of the best drummers in the world, really. I mean, certainly some of the best drummers in that LA scene, which would equate to probably some of the best drummers in the world, I think. I took lessons from Glenn Sobel, who plays drums for Alice Cooper.
Wow.
Now he does. At the time, he hadn't joined the band yet, but he'd already played with a bunch of other well-known names. Yeah, he was pretty insane. A lot of the other teachers just phenomenal and just kind of demystifying a lot of things about drumming that I'd kind of like vaguely known for many years at that point, but it really helped to connect a lot of dots for me. And just hanging out in LA, I got to see some of my favorite bands. I saw Alkaline Trio for the first time there. I saw a ton of shows when I lived there. Some really classic LA venues. I live right in Hollywood, so everything was like, you know, within a
walking distance.
Yeah, 20-minute walking radius. I could hit like everything under the sun, you know. But again, I only stayed there for a year because it just felt, my gut told me maybe I should come back home and try to focus on some other things. So that's what I did. But hey, I still went and I still did it.
Yeah, but you took a lot of life experiences from that journey to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and you got to meet some of your heroes.
Exactly.
So it's pretty insane.
Yeah, I met Derek from Alkaline Trio after one of their shows. This venue called the Palladium. It's a really classic LA venue, right on. It's right on Sunset.
Lovely.
Just like I walk outside the show. I go back by because I saw their, I went down there kind of earlier in the day, and I saw their tour buses parked out back, and I go back there after the show. It's like, oh my God, Derek Grant right there, coming out like sweaty from the show.
Yeah, you had to pinch yourself to make sure you weren't dreaming.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. So I met him, and he was like the nicest person ever. We talked for, I mean, I don't know. We probably talked for an hour, maybe, just right there on the curb out back of the venue. So, you know, it's always cool when you meet some of your idols and they turn out to be, like, decent people.
Oh, yes.
You know?
But at the end of the day, we're all humans, too. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have our own lives to live. Mm-hmm. We're all just, you know, like, when we're on stage, mm-hmm. We're I think we're like referred to as superheroes.
Yeah.
But when you're off the stage, you're just regular human beings like you and I.
But
well, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. It's the society to sort of places people on these crazy
pedestals.
Yeah, pedestals, and like they really are just like, you know, people with like problems like you and I might have, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, but like, it goes to show, like, once you take mm-hmm. the stage away from them, again, mm-hmm. they're all regular people. Like,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all have our own shit to deal with.
Yeah, you never truly know what people are going through, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, this most recent record, Prequels, you put out back in mm-hmm. April. Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about it at the start, but tell me a little bit more about how this all came together, and what was it like, you know, writing all the songs for this new album?
Yeah, so... Yeah, again, in 2018, I had just stepped away I was playing drums in a band. We were touring a lot across the country, kind of loosely based out of Montreal, actually. And, yeah, I was thinking really hard about a lot of things and said it might be time that I step away from touring and maybe from drumming for the time being, because I kind of dedicated my life to it for over a decade at that point. So that's what I did, but obviously I'm not just going to stop doing music stuff.
Oh, no.
So I had always been, and playing in bands, I'd been exposed to a little bit of some technology things like loops and playing with backing tracks and electronic elements, samples, and just little digital programs on your laptop or whatever, just programs you can get for free, really.
Yeah.
So when I did decide to step away from the band, I said, maybe I'll dive into that world a little bit more. And part of me, like, it seems silly in hindsight, but I was a little, like, maybe a little judgmental of that stuff, coming from, like, oh, I'm a drummer, like, you know, I don't need, like, a backing track or loop or something, which in hindsight is a silly way to think about it. I just think I just didn't know enough about it and what it could do. So I guess I had decided maybe it's time that I can explore that world a little bit more. So, and as soon as I did, I instantly fell in love with it and said I think I was actually missing this from my musical creative endeavors. So, excuse me. Yeah, getting into the songwriting, a lot of them happened pretty fast, actually. The first couple songs that I wrote that Devin Millie sang on were actually like kind of two of the first songs that I wrote. And one of them, which is the opening track on Prequels, is called Apple Blue. It starts with a drum part that I wrote on the drum kit and then translated it to the electronic world. It's got a bit of like a, almost a trap beat.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of groove to it. And actually a bunch of the other songs kind of started with a drum beat, because me as a drummer, I kind of played some stuff that it's like, oh, I wish in some of the bands I played and I got to play a song that went like this. And then I would program the drum beat. And I would do that for another song and another song and kind of run with it. It may be, I don't know. Does anyone else write like that? Am I the only one?
I mean,
I think a lot of people might start with a melody, you know, some chords and a vocal line. I kind of built it backwards.
Yeah, but a lot of things work for different people, and mm-hmm. it seems like you enjoy, you know, starting with mm-hmm. like with a loop and a mm-hmm. drum beat, like mm-hmm. starting with the drum beat, then going to that loop, and mm-hmm. then because you have
maybe
different...
I think perhaps in the maybe in the rap hip hop world,
yeah,
in the pop world,
the
I think
common.
That's probably more common.
Yeah,
maybe not so much in the rock world, but some kind of borrowing creative processes from other places, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and. It's good. It's, I think, I mean, hopefully the result is kind of unique sounding. It's kind of like, I say it half jokingly, but it's almost kind of like a fake band. You know what I mean? It's like robots simulating what humans would do.
So it's pretty much AI taking over.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. AI, but created by me.
Hairy eye.
Yeah.
That was bad.
But, yeah, I guess that's, I can't even remember what you asked. I think you asked about the songwriting process for...
No. Oh, yes.
Of prequels. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And there was, like, obviously huge learning curves. I had dabbled in songwriting before, but really writing, like... Like I wanted, like, the bass part to sound like it was written by a bass player, the guitar part to sound like it was written by a guitar player, the vocals to sound like good, like, vocal parts, you know? And that's where some of my like, Devin, who's sang in bands forever, and multi-instrumentalist, he helped, to say the least. And my friend Elliot, who we co-write basically every Pace song together, he's an incredible songwriter, guitar player. Me and him played in a band called London Above.
Oh, wow.
For many years, yeah. So I was a drummer in the band. He was one of the main songwriters and vocalists. He has a music degree in theory and composition. So he knows, you know, he knows when a melody is just not quite right. Usually I write a song and a melody, send it to him, and then he does a little bit of this, you know, tweaks, massages it a little bit, makes it flow. He knows what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but what
he understands me well at this point.
Yeah, but what you're trying to do, like, you're making your own style, and I think it really works on this new record that you put out.
Thank you.
So,
I appreciate it. I put a lot into the EP, and it's good to finally have it out to show it off to people.
So, yeah, it's great to have you here at Music Celebration Week. Mm-hmm. How
great
important are these conferences for development of musicians, and especially like established veterans like yourself
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, trying to go in a whole new direction?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How important is that for you? To
definitely, I mean, they're great. Like, you just get to meet some people. Music NL is able to bring some people here from people have come here from all over the world, and whether or not you meet someone that ends up becoming like a business relationship, I think the main thing is just hanging out with some cool people. I've had some really great chats just, you know, hanging out at some of the showcases and right here in the conferences over the past few days. It's fun. It's meeting people, networking, dare I say. And it's, I think whatever level you're at or how new you are or how long you've been doing this for, I don't really think it matters. I think you can come here and there's a place for everyone here.
Oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a musician or an industry professional, mm-hmm. like everyone belongs here. Because mm-hmm. we're all... one small piece of a bigger puzzle of growing our sector one song at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now...
Everyone kind of helps each other, you know? It's mutually beneficial, I guess. Is that the right
term? Yeah, I need the right phrase there.
Yeah.
Now, what's next for you, Harry? Are you planning to go on tour with this record?
I... sadly, at the moment, I don't have any immediate touring plans. The next big hurdle that I'm working towards is putting together the live show. Because while I played live for years and years as a drummer with other projects, well, my own bands and other people's projects, this is totally new territory for me. Never fronted a band before. So that's scary. But it is a lot of the times in the past, I don't think I placed enough emphasis on songwriting and getting some good recordings. So I really wanted to do that first before I even thought about stepping on a stage with it, you know? This has happened to me a lot in the past that everyone's in a band, you're in a room together, and you just write some songs and start playing shows. And by the time you end up recording something, it's like, maybe we should have done this differently. I don't know. You get caught up in different things. And with this, it's been just me, and I write a song, and I can immediately become almost like a separate... I can separate myself from the song a bit better. And, like, I write everything, so it doesn't matter. I can say, this drum part sucks. The vocal part sucks. It's not good enough. I can say that, you know?
Is that comes like, you know, like, trying to make your songs perfect, too? Like, do you find sort of, you have that little bit of that perfectionism?
I think I kind of am. Like, as much as I kind of wish I wasn't, to an extent, I wish I was a little more like... Especially in this day and age, it's just like, record it, put it out to the world. Record it, put it out to the world, repeat. I'm trying my best to do that, but it's hard. I don't know, I want to make sure that things are as best as they can be. And that's what I wanted to do before I even thought about taking it live. So after I put in all this work, it's like, whoa, I need to like start... trying to put a show together.
Well, whatever show you put together, mm-hmm. I'm certain it's going to be wonderful.
Well, thank you. I think it will be too. It's going to be fun. I think the songs are really it's a studio project that as of now that's how it started. But I mean, these songs are written to be played live, you know, and loud.
Yeah,
I think. It'll be good.
For sure. Now, where do you plan on holding this to?
Holding...
So, like, when you have this live show prepared, where do you plan on holding this off
to? I mean, it remains to be seen. It's hard to say yet. Could even be in, like, a basement or something. You know? I mean, anywhere, really. Whoever will accept me to perform on your stage, I will go.
Well, I'm certain they will accept you. So for people who want to follow along, where can they go when it comes to, say, your social media presence?
I'm mainly on Instagram, which is at CTRLVMusic. And I'm there on Facebook. And it's also my YouTube handle as well. No, Twitter or whatever.
Or X, whatever
it's called. Yeah. Just mainly, I'm on Instagram. That's my main communication line to the world. I'm on there. I'm fairly active on there. So, yeah, at CTRLV Music. And come find me. Come hang out.
Awesome. And you're also on, like, Bandcamp and Spotify and all that stuff?
That's right. Yeah, I'm on Bandcamp and all the major streaming services. Napster.
If that still even exists.
It does.
Really?
It's still kicking.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
You like know, I learn something new every day.
Yeah, I know. I release through, I use TuneCore. It's a digital distributor, and they show you their, when you do a release, they show you their big list, and the main ones are there. You got your Spotify's and your Apple Music's and so on. But the list keeps going. It's like, whoa, Napster still exists. There's all kinds of, like, There's like probably hundreds of those things.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm there as well. Bandcamp. Bandcamp's great. I mean, the streaming services are, they are what they are. They're for a new artist. They're just promotion.
Yeah.
You know.
They're good for exposure, but they're not good for, say, like monetization purposes.
No. It's all it is. It's just, I mean, you pay money and you put your songs out there. It's just a promotional thing. It's cool. I don't know. You never know where that can lead. But, yeah, come over to Bandcamp. Bandcamp's really cool. A little bit more artist-focused. And YouTube, I got some visual stuff up there. Some little videos that I made, or not, that I got someone to make for me.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's good. I want this project's pretty visual too, you know, even right down to the name, stylization, my little logo, all those little things that, like, again, sometimes you get caught up in a band and, like, you're 4 years deep and you realize you don't even have a logo. And then, I don't know, the project is kind of burnt out by then and you kind of miss the boat. So I wanted to do that first, too, for this project. All of these little mistakes that I've made in the past, I've tried my best to kind of avoid them with paste.
Yeah, well,
hopefully I'm doing a good job.
Yeah, well, you're bound to run into mistakes. It's what you learn from them that helps you make you the person
you
are. Of
course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Harry.
It's all good.
Well, Harry, listen, man, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
This has been great. Yeah, seriously. Thank you for thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And thanks again for doing this.
Thank you. And congratulations, Media Person of the Year, Music NL.
2 years in a row.
Right here.
Let's go.
Got some nice. You must have a nice little display in your home now for you.
Oh yes, I got some in my office.
Yeah, the
office. I'm gonna run out of trophies, but like, congratulations to your partner Melissa. I mean,
yeah.
Her, Dean Clark, and Jake Thompson all do great work for the community. Mm-hmm. I'm just one small piece of the bigger puzzle of
growing
your sector. Mm-hmm. Thanks again.
Shout out to Melissa. Thank you. She's great. She's here this week.
Oh,
yes.
You've
probably seen her buzzing around. She, you know, she's the one that puts things out there. I'm just kind of sitting.
But you're making some noise, too.
Taking it all in.
But you're making some noise, too.
Subtle noise, yes.
It's great to have you on again, and thanks again for doing this.
Thank you, sir.
And that was Harry Parsons, who goes by Control Plus V. And from that album Prequels, here is Control Plus V now with Apple Blue on the Musical Connections podcast.
Ain't it fun to cover the music of Newfoundland and Labrador each week? Well, I know I sure had fun this week. Big thank you to Harry Parsons for joining me on Next to Connect this week, and to each and every single one of the musicians who contributed their songs for Newfound releases. If you want to follow along with any Musical Connections content, you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, it's Zach Snow Content Creator, and on Instagram, it's Zach Snow NL. You can also check out full-length Next to Connect conversations on my YouTube channel. You can subscribe to there by going to typing up youtube.com/ZachSnowMCNL. And make sure to subscribe to not miss any Next to Connect content. New episodes drop every single Tuesday at 12 noon, Newfoundland Standard Time, wherever you get your podcast. My link tree also has links to all the ways you can listen to this podcast on the RSS feed, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get it. Make sure to not miss an episode by liking and following the podcast. And while you're there, leave a review as well. It spreads the word about this podcast a lot, and it will help the cause of growing our Newfoundland and Labrador music sector one song at a time. And that wraps up episode 95 of the Musical Connections podcast. Thank you so much once again for connecting with me this week. I'm your host, Zach Snow. Join me same time next week where once more we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to one another, and until next time, safe home.